Hello and welcome to another edition of St. Philip and James Tech Podcast. Today, Tiana will be interviewing Richard Stallman, founder of the Free Software Movement.
Hello, Mr. Stallman. How are you today?
Well, I'm a bit sleepy, but more or less okay.
Do you prefer to be called Mr. Stallman, RMS, or something else?
Well, when I give a speech, I'd prefer people to introduce me as Dr. Stallman because, although that doesn't really change anything, it might impress some people and make them listen to the ideas more. But when people are just talking to me, I don't really care. They can call me Richard or Stallman or RMS.
Can you tell our listeners where you learned how to do what you do, whether it was in school or out of school?
Well, for me, it was sort of natural. I read a book about programming and I thought, wow, that's programming. I love that. However, learning to write good, useful programs is something I did by working at the Artificial Intelligence Lab at MIT. I was hired there in 1971 while I was an undergraduate at Harvard. And my job there was simply to improve the programs in the operating system. So I would think of some nice feature to add, and I would implement it, and then people would use it, and they would report the bugs, because there were generally bugs, and I would fix them. And by doing this over and over, I learned to do it pretty well.
Can you explain the difference between a hacker and a cracker and which one you are?
Hacking means playful cleverness, exercising your intelligence in a way that's fun. If things like this are fun for you, then you're a hacker. Or more precisely, if you are hacking right now, then probably in some sense you're a hacker. But to really be a hacker means it's that you like to do this and you do it often and you look for opportunities to do it more. By contrast, a cracker is somebody who is breaking computer security. That's a very specific kind of activity. Hacking doesn't necessarily involve computers. If you enjoy playful cleverness, you can find opportunities to practice it in many areas of life, in many media, we might say. They don't necessarily involve computers. For instance, the first star composer in Europe was called Guillaume de Machaut. He lived in the 1300s, and he wrote a piece which was a palindrome. It was a three-part piece, that is, three voices in parallel. One of these voices is the reverse of the other, and the lowest voice was its own reverse. And the title of this piece is Ma fin et mon commencement, which is my end is my beginning. The words were all about being a palindrome. In addition to being so amusing in this way, it also sounded good as music. So I would say this was hacking. To give another example, which is much less profound, there is a bus that runs between MIT and Wellesley College. The MIT terminus of this bus is at a place known as Kendall Square. So I once got together with a friend and we put up a street sign in Wellesley which said Barbidol Square. So in effect, with one sign, we called Wellesley students Barbie dolls and we called MIT students Ken dolls. So this was also a hack, and it had nothing to do with computers. Computers do, however, provide a lot of opportunities for playful cleverness. So people with an interest in hacking find a lot of opportunity to do so with computers. Most of the time, it has nothing to do with security. Once in a while, it does. So it's conceivable that a person can be a hacker and a cracker, just as it's conceivable that a person can be a hacker and a composer. But most hackers are not composers, and most hackers are not crackers.
What is GNU, and what is Linux?
GNU is the operating system that I began developing in January 1984 for the specific purpose of allowing computer users to have freedom. You see, in 1983, when I made this decision and announced the project, all the operating systems for modern computers were proprietary software, meaning that the users could only get binaries. They could not get the source code, so they couldn't understand what the program was doing, and they couldn't change it. And in addition, they were forbidden to share it with anyone else, and that prohibition is unethical. So proprietary software keeps the users divided and helpless. Divided because they're forbidden to share, and helpless because they can't change it. In order to live in freedom while using computers, we needed an operating system that would respect users' freedom. In other words, an operating system that would be free software. I decided to write one and invite other people to help. In other words, I launched the GNU project, which is the project to develop the GNU operating system. By 1990, the system was mostly complete. We had almost all the components that were necessary, but one important essential component was missing. That was the kernel, which is the program that allocates the machine's resources to all the other programs that you run. We started developing the GNU kernel in 1990, but the GNU kernel, for various reasons, didn't work very well and still doesn't work very well, so we don't recommend people use it. Instead, we use another kernel called Linux. Linux was developed in 1991 by Linus Torvalds. When he first released it at the sort of barely functioning level, it was not free software because its license was too restrictive. But in 1992, he changed the license. He adopted the GNU General Public License. And thus, Linux became free software. I should point out that the GNU General Public License, or GNU GPL, is not the only free software license. There are dozens of different free software licenses. Any license that gives the user the four essential freedoms is a free software license, and these freedoms are Freedom 0, the freedom to run the program, Freedom 1, the freedom to study the source code and change it, Freedom 2, the freedom to make copies and distribute them to others, and Freedom 3, the freedom to make copies of your modified versions and distribute them to others. Any license that gives you those freedoms is a free software license. In any case, the GNU General Public License, which I wrote, is a free software license, and when Linux was available in that way, it became free software. So the combination of GNU, which was an operating system almost complete but still missing a kernel, and Linux, which was a kernel, was a free operating system. You could install it in a PC and use it in freedom. And this combination, the GNU / Linux operating system, or GNU plus Linux, is widely used today, and many people mistakenly call it Linux. Please don't do that, because it's not fair to us. We started it, we did the biggest part of the work, so please give us equal mention.
What is the difference between free software and open source?
As you can hear already, the basic idea of the free software movement is that you deserve freedom. So free software as a philosophy is all about freedom and social solidarity, which is the freedom to cooperate with other people. Open source is pretty much a different way of talking about free software. It's not exactly, because the open source people have a different set of criteria, and they have accepted certain licenses that we consider too restrictive. But those licenses are few and they're rarely used. So when considered as categories of programs, open source is almost the same as free software. But when you look at the two philosophies, they are totally different because the values they are based on are different. Open source doesn't talk about values of freedom and social solidarity. In fact, they don't present the issue as a matter of right versus wrong. In the free software movement, we say you have a moral duty to respect other people's freedom. If you develop a program and you distribute copies to others, you must respect their freedom. It's wrong not to. It's evil. We use terms such as good and evil. Open source tries to avoid that. They don't want to criticize anybody in any sharp way. The worst that they will say about anything is that they think it's not likely to result in powerful, reliable software. So the open source philosophy refers only to practical values of convenience. Powerful software, reliable software. They don't present this as a matter of moral duty, ethical imperative. They don't talk about rights that you are entitled to, because they don't want to say that what somebody is doing is wrong. This is why I do not support or advocate open source. I care about your freedom, and I think that's the most important issue in the whole area of computing. Does software respect your freedom, or does it impose the power of software developers on users like you?
What does copyleft mean?
There are two kinds of free software licenses: the copyleft licenses and the non-copyleft licenses. The GNU General Public License, which is used by around 70% of free software packages, is a copyleft license. Most free software licenses are not copyleft licenses. So what is this difference? Well, the GNU GPL says that when somebody redistributes copies of the program, with or without changes, he has to respect the freedom of the people who get copies from him. So if you get a copy from him, your copy has to come with the four freedoms, enabling you to live in freedom. The other licenses give the users freedom, but permit the users to distribute non-free versions of the program. So with the other licenses, the non-copyleft licenses, the middleman could get a copy of the program as free software and distribute it to you without freedom. Well, from my point of view, that's completely useless. The whole point is to make sure that you have freedom. Therefore, we have to tell the middlemen that they are not allowed to take away your freedom. And that's what copyleft does.
Why is it important to you that this interview be recorded in Ogg Vorbis and not MP3? What is the difference?
Well, technically, these are two different formats for compressed audio. The important difference, though, is that MP3 is patented. There is a patent on one aspect of the technique that is used to make MP3 files, and also to play MP3 files. And the patent holder has already attacked free software, threatened at least, free software developers. So the result is that some distributors of the GNU/Linux system are afraid to distribute that software. Well, anytime we publish anything in MP3 format, we are putting the users in a bind. Because in order to listen to this stuff in MP3 format, they need the software to play MP3 format. And meanwhile, the distributors of free software are scared to give it to them because they're afraid they will be sued. So it is our duty, I have concluded, not to distribute things in MP3 format. And I decided that if you were going to distribute this in MP3 format, I shouldn't participate. Therefore, I said, I will participate if you will distribute this in Ogg format. And I hope you will switch to Ogg Vorbis format for everything you do, because that way you help our community escape from the danger of software patents.
What do you think is the most important lesson for kids to know about technology in the 21st century?
That's an interesting question. I think I've never been asked it before. The most important thing for people to learn, whether they're young or old, is technology can serve you or technology can put chains on you. And that depends on who is in control of it. If somebody else controls what the technology does, he can set it up to put chains on you, chains that you can't remove. But if you are in control of the technology, then it can serve you, and then it can be very useful. So how do we make sure that you are in control of the technology? When the technology is software, the method is simple. If it's free software, the users are in control. A free program develops democratically under the control of its users. But if it's proprietary software, the developer is in control. And if the developer wants to make it put chains on you, he can. And there's no way you can undo that, no way you can fix it to remove the chains. And you have to realize that any non-free program may contain malicious features if the source code is a secret. So the way to protect yourself is do what I do. Reject all proprietary software. Don't use Microsoft Windows. Don't use macOS. They both have backdoors. Don't use any proprietary program. You can't trust them. They are instruments of unjust power.
I see we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
You're very welcome.
Goodbye.
And happy hacking!